Hallelujah. I find this scripture very fitting when we talk about baptism. Okay? So this is a preaching teaching about baptism. So we're going to try to do this in like 30 minutes. Because the water is getting cold. Okay. Jeremiah told me, hey, you know what? These people are from Alaska. They get baptized in the ocean. And, you know, no big deal. No big deal at all. Especially when, yeah. Before we read that scripture, I just want to share a little story with you. Is that okay? A little story about a guy by the name of Kyler. Most of you don't know him, but his name is Kyler. Might be him right there. You just never know. Yeah. So, story goes that this guy, Kyler, was a very big guy with a very unhealthy eating habit. So definitely not him. And Kyler was baptized and dipped in water, not one time, three times. After the third dip, the pastor said to Kyler, "You are now baptized. You are a brand new person. The old one is gone. No more unhealthy eating for you." Right, Kyler? "Your new name is Healthy Kyler. So Kyler goes back home, heads straight for the fridge, opens up the fridge, and takes out this giant slice of cheesecake. Dips it three times in water, pulls it out, and speaks to the cheesecake, "You are now a new creation. The old one is gone. Your new name is Healthy Salad." On that note, I want to make a statement that perhaps might shock some of you this morning. Water baptism cannot save you. Okay? Water baptism cannot save you. I promise you that there is nothing special about this water right here. There is nothing magical about this water right here. Nothing at all. You take a donut. All right, I'm not going to go there. Still get a donut. Okay, 1 Peter 3:21. It's good to have a little fun in church, right? Yes. 1 Peter 3:21. And it says, "And that water is a picture of baptism, which now saves you, not by removing dirt from your body, but as a response to God from a clean conscience." it, talking about water baptism, is effective because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What Peter is saying here is that water baptism does not save you by removing the dirt, the filth, the sin away from your life. Water baptism is simply a response to God because something has happened on the inside of you. It's a response to something that has happened inside of you. And that something is a face-to-face encounter with Jesus. It is that face-to-face encounter with Jesus that compels you not to keep it for yourself. It is too good to keep it a secret. It is something that must be declared. Shout from the rooftops that you have made a decision to serve a living God. It's a public declaration that you are now a follower of Jesus Christ because you have invited Jesus to be your Lord. You've invited him to the most intimate part of your life. You've invited him in and you allowed him to speak into your life. Maybe possibly throughout your life there's been voices, people that you've listened to. But when you've made Jesus your Lord and Savior, you made a decision to listen to the one and only voice of the one and only shepherd. You've said that this shepherd is now the ruler of my life. He is crowned king and sits on the throne of my life. And it is that motivation with a clear and good conscience that pushes you forward to make this declaration through the water baptism this morning. It's too good to be kept under wraps. It's too good to be kept a secret. So this morning, as you guys are getting ready, you're saying, I've made a commitment. I'm starting a brand new season in my life. And I'm ready to declare that my God, my King, has gone before me. And here in that scripture, it's saying water baptism is effective because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's only effective because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's not the water itself that brings meaning to your salvation. It is the resurrection of Jesus Christ that brings the true meaning of salvation. The point I'm making this morning is very simple. Water baptism is an important step of obedience after salvation. It is an important step after salvation to make that declaration that Jesus is your Lord. But water baptism in itself is not a requirement for salvation. Okay? If we say, it is water baptism that saves, then we make salvation about works. We make salvation about works, our own ability. And we nullify the finished work of Jesus on the cross. Here's what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast." See, when you're saved, you cannot claim that as if you did something to merit, to earn that salvation. There's no boasting about what Christ has done for you. There's no boasting in yourself, but you can boast about what Christ has done for you. You can talk about it. You can get excited about it. And this morning we're getting excited about what Christ has done for you and me. We're displaying that excitement through the water baptism. If we say the water saves, then we have the city of Kodiak to thank for. Because they are the one that made a way for the water to get to us here this morning. We have Jeremiah Olsen to thank for because he's the one that set that up this morning. If we say it's the water that saves, then we have Oceans United to thank for this morning. Because Oceans United is the one who's paying for that water. Your salvation was paid for by Jesus. If you need to be thankful for someone, you need to be thankful for what Jesus has done for you. That's where you start. It has nothing to do with the water itself. So if I want to summarize what water baptism really means, I would say this. It's a public declaration of your salvation. It's a public declaration of your salvation. Is it important? Is it important? Is it amazing? Absolutely. Otherwise, we will not put that much effort into this. It is amazing. It's a beautiful story. I believe you're going to have a story to tell after this. You're going to have a story to tell your friends and your family, all those who are watching online. They're going to be able to see something amazing, something miraculous happening in your life. But they won't put that on the water. They won't put that and give glory to the water or give glory to the church or give glory to the pastor or give glory to anybody else. They would only give glory to the one who brought salvation to us. The one who made a way where there was no way. Now he's the only one who deserves all the glory and all the honor. So during water baptism, guess who we're pointing to? We're pointing to Jesus. And him only. And him only. What you guys are doing this morning will be used as a witnessing tool. Others are watching and seeing what God has done in your life. Maybe perhaps people would know you from your past life and say there's something different about you. Something has happened on the inside and now I'm able to see it. Because it's being done through that declaration of faith through what you're doing today. Besides, water baptism is a direct command from Jesus himself. It's a direct command. In Matthew 28, Jesus said this, "Go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you." It's a command. It's a command that came after the resurrection. Why? Why did that command come after the resurrection? Because water baptism is all about his death, his burial, and his resurrection. That's what it's all about. And here's how Apostle Paul said it in Romans chapter 6, verse 3. He said, "Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through the baptism into death. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father." And here's the last part. Even so, we also should walk in the newness of life. Now you're going to see this picture, this beautiful picture today. When you go down and be fully immersed under the water, it's like you identifying with the burial of Jesus. So you guys are going under. You guys are going under. So this all the way down means that you're identifying with the death and the burial of Jesus himself. That's what Paul is saying right there. You are buried with him through baptism into death. So you're going down identifying with the death of your Lord and Savior. You're going down just like that. But you're not staying down, right? A few of you, I mean, maybe Kyla might be held down a little bit longer. But at some point in time, he's coming back up. And you're going to come back up. And when you come back up, you are identifying with the resurrection of Jesus Christ, your Lord. That is the beautiful picture that we have when concerning baptism, water baptism. You're going down, identifying with Christ himself. His burial. When he was put down in a tomb. But we just celebrated Easter. That tomb was empty. Jesus is alive. And today you are resurrected back to enjoy this newness of life in him. Even so, we should walk in the newness of life. So symbolically, when you're stepping out of this water, you're stepping into this newness of life. Some of you are using the water baptism now, not so much as you getting saved and just now receiving Christ. Some of you are beginning or ending a chapter in your life. And you're starting something brand new. And you want to start this something brand new. Whatever it might be. You're saying, my beginning is with my Lord and Savior, Jesus. I'm starting something brand new in my life. A new chapter, a new season. I'm bringing to a close the past. And I'm using this there as a declaration of faith that I am now walking in the newness of life. It doesn't matter if you are old or young. you can still walk in this newness of life. We were raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. Even so, we should walk in newness of life. In newness of life. This morning you're making a declaration that is powerful, that is beautiful, that you're starting with Jesus. And if you start with Jesus, he's going to be with you all along the way. Places where you've never been yet, he's already gone ahead of you. He's already prepared the way where there was no way. And he's given you victory. That every place that the soles of your feet will tread upon, you will have victory. You will have victory. In the book of Exodus that we covered last week, right? When we talk about the veil that was torn. I hope you get the picture of the significance of that torn veil. It's amazing how the Holy Spirit can piece together way ahead of what I can do a message that I had no idea that this was going to tie in until last night when a fresh download came in and I saw this picture. This picture right there. And the Holy Spirit took me to the book of Exodus. I'm going to step in the front because of my commanding height. You might not be able to see me. In the book of Exodus, God spoke to his children right before they leave bondage, the bondage of Egypt. And God gave them a specific instruction to get a lamb, a sacrificial lamb, a lamb that was without blemish, a clean, a pure lamb, to sacrifice that lamb and to dip hyssop, it's like a branch of a tree, to dip that into like a paintbrush. So give you little guys a little picture in your mind. It's like a brush. To dip it into that blood and to put on the doorpost. On the doorpost. So it was done like this. A drip on one side and then dragged upon and touch the other side. And then that same brush was taken and dipped on the top. The lentil. Is that how you say it? Top. And then that blood would drip down all the way. I don't know if you get this picture. But that blood was like this. And the one on top was the crown of thorns. And that blood dripped all the way down. And you see a shape of this cross. That is the picture that we get when that blood of the lamb was placed on the doorpost. So the only way that you can get through is through Christ. There is no other way to get in if you don't go through Christ. There is no other way for you to get into the water baptism, to make this declaration, if you don't go through the blood of Christ. It is still the blood that saves. It is still the blood that heals.
Yes, yes.
It is still the blood that sets you free. So without the blood here, there is no access to Him. There is no access to God, but through the blood of the Lamb. But Jesus didn't just stop there and put the blood there and died for us. That veil was torn so that we have direct access to Him. Now on your app you will not see this verse because the download came at 5 a.m. this morning. In the book of John, chapter 10, verse 7. I want you to keep this picture of this door in your mind as we read John chapter 10, verse 7. If you guys can put that up, that would be great, because I want them to capture this. Because this morning that hit me. The night I got this picture of this, and in the morning when I got up, God led me to this scripture. John chapter 10 verse 7 through 9. And Jesus is addressing His disciples. He said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door of the sheep. I am the door of the sheep." That was the door. The same door that was used as an example in the Old Testament. Jesus was now saying, "I am that door. I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me," listen to this, "are thieves and robbers." Probably those that did not deserve to get in. But the sheep did not hear them. The sheep here is talking about the children of God, the children of Israel. The sheep did not hear them because in their minds, in the law, there was no other way to get in for thieves or robbers. But Jesus said this in verse 9. "I am the door. If anyone, be it thieves, robbers, sinners, anyone who enters by me," not by any other way, not by any other way, but "anyone who enters by me, the name above all other names, the door. But by anyone who enters by me will be saved." Amen. And catch this other part. "And will go in and out and find pasture." It's talking about this place where you can go in and out. go into the presence of God, into that place we call the secret place of the Most High. Because you can go in and out, it means you have access, unlimited access, not just one time, but in and out, any time you want to. Not through any other way, but through the door. And as you go through the door, it is that blood of Christ that was placed on that door that covers you from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. It is that blood of Christ that gives you the newness of life that we talk about. And that what we're celebrating here this morning, this newness. It is that blood that was shed on that doorpost that allowed you access to Him. Because He is the door of the sheep. It is what Jesus did on the cross that gives the true meaning to water baptism. And really nothing else. This morning I want to extend an invitation to all of you. Perhaps you've never invited Jesus into your life. You never thought that you had access to this door. You did not know that this door was paid for by the blood of Jesus just for you, so that you may enter in, so that you may go in and out and find pasture, access to the living God Himself. So I want to extend that invitation to you this morning. I want to invite you in this simple prayer. You don't need to do anything fancy. You can just be yourself. You don't need to dress in any other way, but just the way you came in this morning. Because Jesus will take you just as you are. Just as you are. But since He is an amazing God, He's not going to leave you just as you are. He's going to change your life. Give meaning and purpose to your life. So that way you know the next time you need to get in, you would know that this blood has paid the price for me to walk in and have a conversation with my God. Because at the end of the day, it's all about a relationship with Him, right? It's not about the religion side of things. It's about a relationship with Him. If that's you this morning and you want to make this decision, it's not a decision that you make lightly. They thought about this for a long time. I'm not saying that these are brand new believers, but that symbolic meaning of this declaration of who Christ is in their life did not come lightly. But it started with a simple prayer at some point in their life. Jesus, would you please forgive me? Would you forgive me? I invite you in my life. I invite you to take charge and control of my life. You've paid the price for my forgiveness, and you've given me access to you. This is it. That's all the prayer. You believe that in your heart, that Jesus died and was risen from the dead and is now alive, sitting at the right hand of the Father. That's the God that we are talking about this morning. Just a simple invitation. If that's you and you've made that prayer for the very first time, I want to welcome you home. I want to welcome you in the kingdom of heaven. I promise you, your life will never be the same ever again. If that's you, you want to make another commitment now. And you say, you know what, I want to get baptized today. Or any of you, if you say, hey, you know what, I'm beginning a new season in my life and I need Jesus with me. And I want this to be a public declaration. We can make it happen. So we're going to give you a few minutes. As the baptism candidates, if you would please stand, and we're going to pray for all of you. Would you please give them a hand? Awesome. Awesome. Remain standing. We're going to pray. This water baptism is a celebration of new life for you. Second Corinthians 5:17 says this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Your sinful past, your past, period, has been erased. God is starting something brand new in you. Brand new. Would you please stretch your hands as we pray over them? Father, we thank you for sending your Son to die for all of us. That, Lord, that through your blood, you've made a way for us to be reconciled back to you. For us to have a relationship with you. That now we may call you Father. That you call us sons and daughters of the Most High God. Lord, we declare that the power of the enemy will have no hold over them. We take authority and we break every bond, every chain that the enemy will have or have had over their lives right now, and we declare freedom. Freedom now in the name of Jesus. Lord, let them hear your voice. Be that silent voice that speaks to them. In times of turmoil or in times where they're in a place of darkness, Lord God, let your word be a light in a dark place for them. Let their minds be renewed and be set free right now in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen.